This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Anything discussed during this podcast does not and is not intended to constitute legal advice. Instead, all content is for general entertainment purposes only. Listeners should contact their attorney to obtain advice with respect to any particular legal matter. Listening to, contacting us, or any of the links or resources contained within this podcast and or website does not create an attorney-client relationship. The views expressed during this podcast are those of the individual lawyers in their individual personal capacities only.
All the legal ladies. Welcome to All the Legal Ladies. Unwind with us as we navigate the fascinating world of legal tales, precedents, and occasional objection-worthy jokes. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
So today has been kind of a not get any work done day for me.
Some days are like that.
I'm recuperating from my very long trial with my husband on work travel. That was a doozy.
While your husband was on work travel, not yes. with your husband.
Yeah, no. No, I was in trial for 3 days and my husband was on work travel. Mm-hmm. So that was a fun time. Thankful for the parents for being there to help me. Mm-hmm. But how about you guys? Any fun weekend things or?
I wouldn't call our weekend fun.
Yeah.
Aside from our family stuff, we also did have the passing of a beloved family fish 2 weeks with our family and is now gone. And there was a lot of sobbing in Petco as we exchanged our dead. Did you know it's a thing you can do? Mm-hmm. You can take your dead fish to exchange.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
But you have to have a body.
Mm-hmm. We did. And then. Yeah. Not something I saw myself doing. Not really how I wanted to say. I don't even know how much a fish was. $4.99? I guess we didn't pay for the second one.
No. Mm-hmm. It's amazing when your child is on punishment how he can find ways to mess with you and bother you when you just want to be left alone. So that was my weekend. But no, we had to wake up early Sunday, drop him off because he had another field trip. And then I got down the rabbit hole, went down the rabbit hole of Ancestry.com.
Oh, nice. Any things that you were unexpected?
Yes and no. It's just interesting to, so we did the test. And you look and you have all these DNA matches and you're trying to figure out how they're related to you. And you're like, oh, okay. Sometimes you find surprises like, oh, that's not who we thought was the daddy, but, you know.
I'm sure that is happening more and more these days. Yes. Not the daddy.
Yes. So.
Well, that's a good segue into our first segment next on the docket, where we're going to discuss some legal topics for this week. So let's talk about some marriage advice from family law attorneys, especially if you find out that you're not the daddy. So an article in Huffington Post asked 10 divorce lawyers what are some pieces of advice they could give about marriage. Here are their answers, and then I think we can give some of our own.
Yeah.
Make it a goal to be the first partner to say I'm sorry.
I don't know. That's my goal. But I guess this isn't from my marriage advice.
This is not from your marriage advice. Secure your own oxygen mask in the event of marital turbulence.
Mm-hmm. 100% sure I understand what that means.
Well, take care of yourself first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Be honest, but not that honest.
Yes. Not everything that's true needs to be said.
Right. Well, there's a reason white lies exist.
Mm-hmm.
Set monthly State of the Union meetings.
I don't need to talk that much.
Force yourself to have those unsexy conversations about finances.
Yes, that is very important. Yeah.
When you have financial talks, treat them like business meetings.
I would say that we treat them like our business meetings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Focus on your marriage first, even if it means giving others care about the short shrift. I don't know what that means at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remind yourself that not everyone is as happy as they look on Instagram. Oh, that is true.
Yes, that one. Yep. Mm-hmm. Make your own couple focused holidays. Isn't that date night?
Mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Realize when you always win the argument, you may lose the marriage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You cannot always be right, even though you know you're always right. Uh-huh. You cannot let that.
Mm-hmm. I will just share an observation from our own marriage counseling was that we were both very invested in being right. I'm like, but the facts matter.
Yeah.
Let's see. Marriage advice. Marriage advice I feel like I've given as a divorce lawyer, which is get out before you hate each other.
Yes.
Like if it's really not going to work.
Yes.
Because if you wait until you hate each other, then the divorce is that much worse.
Especially for kids. Then that makes it that much worse on the kids and the parenting relationship. And go to counseling. Mm-hmm. Therapy. If something is wrong, like proactively go to it. Going to it when you hate each other doesn't do anything. It's too late at that point in time.
Yeah. And also, even if it's not going to save your marriage, again, if you're co-parenting, like having good communication and finding your way through those next steps, vital.
I'm trying to think. My parents have been married. They'll be 63 years this year. For 63 years. I'm not that old. They had me late in life. So, well, way into their marriage. But their marriage advice would be, they say this often, is that basically you have to communicate with one another, be open, honest, but not too honest. My mother's marriage advice is to always have a secret stash. A bank account.
I was going to say stash of what?
But no, but, and to not rely on how you feel. Like happiness is not the sum of marriage because that's a feeling and it can ebb and flow. It can be fleeting. You can be upset with your partner or you can be mad at your partner. You're not always going to be happy. You're not always happy in any relationship. So don't expect your partner to fulfill your happiness. Don't expect to be happy, but be willing to work through any circumstances or troubles. So...
Well, and the idea that like no one else can make you happy, like you have to make yourself happy.
Yeah.
And whether or not you can make yourself happy with that person or not, sometimes the answer is not.
And there will be tough seasons in everything. There is a season. So there will be tough seasons and you have to decide whether you're going to stick through it or whether it's worth it. Don't let yourself be abused, of course. That is a whole different thing, but there will be tough seasons. You might not like your spouse for a period of time. I don't like my spouse sometimes, but you know, with any relationship, friendship, any ship-uation, you know, you are not going to always be happy. You're not always going to like that person. So...
My parents have been married now for 45 years. And I had the privilege of, at the time, it being a non-traditional marriage because my dad was hurt when I was a kid. And so he was the stay-at-home dad. And my mom was the sole provider of the family financially. So it was opposite back in the 80s. With, you know, nowadays it's not anything to really bat an eye at, but... It was very different back then. So I don't know if they'd have just one single advice, but
yeah.
I remember at my parents' 50th wedding anniversary celebration, it was their card was like, marriage is like a garden. You have to tend to it. You have to water it. You have to, you know, take the weeds out of the garden. You have to have care. So it's not just one time, oh, we're married. Let us just flow through life. You have to
work at it.
Work at it.
Yeah.
And so it is true. I've been married for 22 years. Yes, 22 years this year. It'll be 22 years this year. And it is a work in progress. Just like being an attorney, you have to practice. You're always practicing at it. You're always working at your marriage.
My husband always asks me not to become too numb to things or to be like taken over by our cases and applying it to our marriage. And it's like, no, I definitely work on compartmentalizing that.
See, my husband appreciates this work so much because he feels like it makes him look good. Well, because my first stuff was in domestic violence and then child abuse and now divorce. Mm-hmm. It's like, I am so clear that the grass is not greener. Real clear on that.
What about some advice that you've heard that you ignore 100%? Like for me, the whole, you can't go to bed angry. Like I'm too tired for that. Mm-mm. Like we'll fight tomorrow. Especially when I'm more well slept. I'm more level headed.
For me, I don't know if it's advice I'm ignoring, but I think not all fights are worth having.
Yeah.
Right. So there's absolutely stuff that we disagree on. And I'm just happy to keep disagreeing on it. Like it not everything has to be resolved. You know, if it's something that's going to fester or come up again and again, but sometimes we just strongly disagree about something. And like, you know, we don't have to agree on this. We can just move on. That's worked pretty well for us.
I think what's worked well for us is we understand that, of course, I have a son. So we understand that when he came along, he was not the end all to be all. He wasn't the most important thing in our marriage because after the children are gone, you still need to be with that person. So we have taken trips without him, especially for our anniversary. We go on date nights, which I think is very important. But we understand that, you know, for me, God, spouse, family, children, is important. And that's how we stay focused and centered on our marriage. Just like I said, working together. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it seems like we work apart because we disagree. But in the end, not all fights are worth fighting, like you said. Yeah. We're not always going to be agreeable with one another, in agreement with one another. So we have to compromise. And knowing when to just give it up and say, okay, I'm done. It's a good thing. And not always when you're upset, trying to work it out in the moment, because that is not good. I need some time to walk away, gather my thoughts, or I will say something that you will not like.
I feel like in our relationship, we come together in advert times of adversity. So that has worked out well for us. And, you know, raising children is often adversity. So I like to think of it as it's us against the children. We have to be united.
Yes.
Yes.
8 and 6 will do that.
16 will do that, too.
I'm very nervous about when we are where you are. Not for our marriage, but just in general.
Yeah.
I'm not ready for teenagers.
No.
Approaching tweens is bad enough.
Last night when he said she'll be in fourth grade, shut your mouth. No one.
I know. We just looked at the school calendar before we came on. And I was like, oh, I guess I can put graduation on my calendar. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. And that also means that Trey starts kindergarten next year, my last baby. It's crazy.
But I tell you, I am looking forward to being able to travel during off-peak season.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Well, and I will say for people who are looking to get married, right? Counseling, whether religious or non-religious beforehand, to make sure that you've had those conversations of how are we going to handle our finances? How are we going to handle kids if it comes up?
Right.
Are we going to have the same religion or not? What is important to us or not? Like having those in advance is helpful, not trying to live it spur of the moment.
Right. We definitely had those conversations before we were married because, you know, you're coming from different backgrounds, different families. You were probably raised differently. You might have a different opinion on budgeting, financial, and that is a big part. Yes. Finances is a big part. So you want to have those conversations while you're still in the dating phase, engagement phase. There was a book that we went through, and I forgot what it was called, but it was very, very good. It asked about what are your feelings on child rearing, Are you a saver or a spender? Just things that you would face while married, religion, education, because Corey went to public school, I went to Catholic school. So where will our child go to school? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So different things like that. You need to have those conversations before the marriage and not during the marriage, because it might be vastly different. And you need to know whether your spouse is a budget or a saver. I mean, a saver or a spender, because if you're a spender and he's a saver, you definitely need to have those conversations.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking about, you know, for people who do want to have children, like, is somebody going to stay home, or mm-hmm. are they going to go back to work? Like, what does childcare look like? And, you know, some of it you don't know until you're in it, but just thinking through, like, what do you see as your roles, mm-hmm. you know, knowing how, what someone was brought up, like what they might expect. And you might mm-hmm. have different expectations for who gets up with the kids in the night or who takes off mm-hmm. work when the kids are sick. And knowing some of that ahead of time as much as you can is good.
And then another piece of advice is, keep people out of your marriage. Yes.
You mean like in-laws?
In-laws, mm-hmm. friends. Mm-hmm. You know, when you and your spouse argue and you go and run to your parents, your mm-hmm. in-laws, whomever, your friends, and you tell them all the bad stuff and they're looking at you side-eyeing you about why are you still with him? Or they come back and say, oh, I told you so. Just keep people out of your marriage. It's good to, you know, mm-hmm. seek advice, but know who to seek advice from.
Yes. And not sharing every detail and every mm-hmm. argument. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to write things down, be careful what you write down.
Don't put stuff on social media.
Exactly.
When you said not everyone's as happy as they look on Instagram, like the people who, you know, post their fights online too, that's a different kind of mm-hmm. train wreck. Kind of that interesting. Train wreck. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. It is funny. Like the more I've been married and have kids, the less and less I've posted. Also because I worked here longer, yeah. you know, mm-hmm. and stuff. But
mm-hmm. yeah,
now it's more for family from afar to see something right. as opposed to. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And prenup, because we wouldn't be lawyers if we didn't say to get a prenup. My family law attorney said everybody should get a prenup. Mm-hmm. Do I have a prenup? No.
Mm-hmm. Well, I saw something there saying to get an agreement before you stay home with the children. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a really great piece of advice, because if you're going to be out of the workforce mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And maybe have difficulty reentering or have an expectation that you'll stay home for a certain period of time. Well, if you're both on the same page about those conversations, why not get it in writing?
Right. That's an antenuptial. Mm-hmm. Is that how you say it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Antenuptial agreement, because we deal with a lot of people who now say that it wasn't agreed upon, that mm-hmm. they just made that decision by themselves, mm-hmm. which, if that has been the way the marriage has been going for 20 years.
Right.
Nobody's going to believe you.
Yes.
And I mean, it's a financial transaction. Like it's a choice that has consequences, not just for the family, but for like that person. So mm-hmm. you should treat it like the financial transaction it is.
That is that. That business financial talks are business mm-hmm. meetings, mm-hmm. not personal.
And also if one spouse is a higher wage earner than the other, mm-hmm. like, yeah, you're going to have to look at that. I might not be putting away as much in retirement as mm-hmm. you are. So what does that look like?
Mm-hmm. Tell a funny story, side anecdote about my parents that I don't think they'll mind. when
find out later.
Yeah. Right before my dad got hurt on the job and ended up being a stay-at-home dad, my mom started outpacing him in money. Mm-hmm. And she says that the one time that they talked about that being an issue, it was, well, I'll put the same percentage of money away for bills and I'll keep the rest if you have a problem with it. And no more problem.
Yes.
So, yeah. Yep.
But yes. Don't be afraid to seek help.
Yes.
Counseling, legal help, you know, just don't be afraid to seek professional help.
Well, and if you're afraid of having hard conversations now, are you ready to marry that person?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Well, after some heavy talk, mm-hmm. I think it's time to go to recess.
Recess. Spin the wheel and see what game we're playing today. court costs.
Ooh, court costs.
All right. Let's see. All right. In 2001, around 32,000 plaintiffs in a class action lawsuit were awarded higher or lower than $1 billion for the 1989 Exxon Valdez oil spill.
Oh. 2001?
That was a bad spill.
It was a bad spill. But I feel like 21 years ago, the money just wasn't as high.
I was like, when was Dr. Evil saying... Was he saying 1 million or 1 billion? Gosh, I don't remember.
1 million. Was it 1 billion?
1 million.
1 billion? I don't know.
I haven't seen an Austin Powers movie in probably been 20 years now.
I'm going to go lower. I don't think there was billions back then as much.
I'll say higher.
I feel like lower.
But you said lower.
Higher. Yes.
It was
5
billion.
5 billion. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. Well, are you looking up when Austin Powers came out?
Yeah.
Important trivia to know.
Mm-hmm.
What was his name? Okay, go on to the
Mike Myers?
No.
In 2013, a federal judge in New York approved a settlement higher or lower than $4 billion relating to claims that Bank of America Corporation hid vital information from shareholders when it acquired the investment bank Merrill Lynch & Company at the peak of the 2008 financial crisis.
I'm going with lower because I feel like banks never pay what they should.
Mm-hmm.
Lower.
I'm going to also say lower.
It was lower.
Yes, lower.
2.4 billion.
2.4 billion.
Yeah, still pretty good.
All right. Here's the last one. Three leading producers of silicone gel breast implants were ordered to pay out higher or lower than $2 billion to thousands of women around the world who claimed they were injured by the product, alleging serious neurological and immune disorders.
Mm.
Lower. Women get screwed.
Lower women. Women get the lesser deal.
Lower.
Yeah. Don't have their financial information taken seriously.
It was higher.
Oh!
Look how jaded we are.
4.25 billion.
4.25 billion for breast implants.
Serious side effects.
Yeah, they are. Yep.
And it was 1 million.
Well, that's good to know then. All right. Well, let's go to our last segment, Childhood Traumas, where I read wild case stories from attorneys on Reddit.
Okay. Let's see, Marsha, do you want to read this one today?
Kind of in the same category. This is from Elle Woods. Kind of in the same category. I've had a lot of younger male potential clients come in for divorce consults with their mother.
Mm-hmm.
Then during the consult, the mother does 98% of the talking, and it is clear who actually wants the divorce. I'll usually escort mom to wait in the lobby while I talk to the son directly. And most of the time, he's just there to appease his mother. On a related note, I once had just the mother call for a consult because she said explicitly she wanted her son to get a divorce. I politely informed her that's not how divorces work.
I don't know that I've ever had that with a divorce case. Definitely custody.
Definitely custody.
Yes.
Definitely custody. Grandmas always get involved in custody and make it worse.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, not always.
They always make it worse, but... Almost always highly involved.
Almost always highly involved.
Mm-hmm. You have to explain to them about grandparents' rights or the lack thereof.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like,
no, we can't do that. No. Mm-hmm.
I've had a bunch of consults where people just come in to talk about whether or not, like what their rights are, but they're not necessarily out of divorce. But I don't know that I've had somebody come in that wasn't ready to get divorced necessarily. Yeah. Like... But was being forced to by her.
Yeah, no, never
that's
had
not
that.
What I've had.
No, that's pretty good.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah, that's why we say keep your in-laws or your parents out of your marriage.
Yes.
They raised you, and but they're not in your marriage.
Well, thank you for tuning in to this episode of All the Legal Ladies. Be sure to follow us on Instagram and TikTok. And if you're watching us on YouTube, be sure to like, comment, and subscribe and listen to the audio on your favorite digital streaming platform. So besides, keep your in-laws out of your marriage. Any last...
Don't schedule divorce consultations for other people who don't want them.
And keep a secret stash.
And on that note, we'll see you next week.